You are inside Mac.
Welcome to Inside Mac. You're here with Scott Shepherd, Little Sammy Levin, Brad Wright. Thanks for coming. We have a great little lineup for you today. I want to start off with our first guest, a buddy of mine. Been a buddy of mine for years. It makes a great product that I actually use every day. Harvey Stone from Bread Haven. Come on up, Harvey.
Hi, everybody.
So this is Harvey Stone. Harvey is the business and development manager for Bread Haven. Minister of Culture, excuse me. He has a new title. Bread Haven, let's give our listeners a little background on Bread Haven, and you guys started out with the originator of the bag for the titanium, I think, and it went
thanks
forward.
A lot. Yeah, actually, the story starts a few decades before that.
It does.
Yeah, how much time do we have this afternoon?
We have all the time you need.
Okay, we've got all the time. Well, you know, I'm really a child of the 60s, and it's really influenced me immensely. And if I could just share a few of the experiences that... No, I'm not going to do that. We're going to just focus on carrying cases, and we're going to focus on why Brent Haven is different than all the other bags on the market, because if you look around this great show, which is just packed with all kinds of wonderful products, there's a lot of carrying cases out there. And our job is to be a partner to you, the consumer, the end user, to figure out what the right solution is for your PowerBook or your iBook, and everyone uses a portable slightly differently. We've designed our bags for those people that carry their computers a lot, that it's a part of the digital lifestyle, as Steve describes it, for the person that puts all of their tunes, all of their photos, all of their contact information, perhaps balancing their checkbook. Everything that's a part of their life is on their computer, and if their computer should, for some reason, drop, and that data is lost, it's a real problem. So what we've done is we've designed a suite of products, depending on exactly how you carry things, whether it's on your back or it's on your shoulder, or if you want to wheel it, we've got a product that's designed for that person.
Yeah, and you know, you guys originally started out with a shoulder case and a backpack for a couple of different models and only in black.
Perfect. He's bringing me back on task. That's why Scott Shepherd is such a great guy. He keeps his people who he's interviewing on task. Apple approached us about 5 years ago with the introduction of the titanium PowerBook, because it was really delicate and it was scratching and it was dropping, you know, and there was just a certain delicate element to it that they wanted to address, and none of the carrying cases that were on the market at that time had anywhere near the level of protection that Brent Haven does. Consistently throughout the years, we've been examined by the media, by individual and engineering groups that have compared all the bags and were consistently the most protective. So they wanted a bag that was form-fitted to the iBook or the PowerBook, that provided compartments that were form-fit to the unique shapes of the AC adapter, the spare battery, or all the other little cool little doo-wah-ditties and little thingy-me-bobs and all the things that people carry around that are just unique to the Apple lifestyle. And so we developed a bag, and then a shoulder case, and then a backpack, and then a whole bunch of other products that were sold exclusively through Apple online store, the Apple stores, authorized resellers worldwide. And we're still the leader in the marketplace.
You are. Now you have some new stuff. You've expanded some designs. You still have the classic shoulder bag here with you, but you have some new stuff, new colors, new things going on here.
Well, way back when, 5 years ago in the beginning of time, the customers that were buying bags, were using portables, tended to be more professional. And over the years, through the iPod culture and the evolution of the Apple culture, there's been a lot more style. And so what we're doing now is, in addition to our basic black military-grade ballistic cases, which are impervious to puncture. Scott, do you have a pen?
A ballpoint pen? I don't, Harvey.
Is there a ballpoint pen in the audience? Is there? There isn't. Okay, then I will do a virtual stabbing. If you were to poke a hole in our fabric, the fabric would actually migrate back. This is the same material they use in the undercarriage of Humvees to protect people from shrapnel. I like to tell the story. I've got children, I've got dogs, and I'm from the Northwest, and I drink lattes. And my children have thrown up on my Brent Haven bag, my dogs have peed on the bag, and I've spilled a latte on the bag. And in each instance, you take a damp cloth and clean it, and it looks good as new. In fact, at the booth, we've had people, come on, Sam, that wasn't really, you know, that wasn't too, that was within the normal limits of taste. I mean, I could tell about a few other things that have happened to the bags, but I won't. The fact of the matter is, this fabric is wonderful. It's impervious to any staining, any dirt, and it looks good as new. People are coming up to our booth, coming up to us and saying, I've had this bag 5 years, and it looks as good today as it did 5 years ago. In the travel goods industry, we're a top-shelf product along brands such as Tumi and Hartmann and so forth. But in the Apple and in the consumer electronics industry, our family of products really stands all by itself in terms of its integrity. We take great pride in our products. We sew into every one of our products a label with our 800 phone number. For the life of the product, there's no questions asked. We stand behind it 100%. Our customer service people are bored. They have nothing to do because no one ever calls up to complain. So why, if you do own a Brent Haven, call up and say how much you like it. You know, we had a hard time migrating to other colors because of the fabric that we use. We're really attached to, and the reason for that is because of the ability to withstand all the rigors of abuse. And just recently, the nylon that we use has been able to handle a dye. So for the first time, we're now carrying our products in a variety of colors, including this lovely blue. But not only does it have a colorful exterior, it also has a really nice spiffy orange color, and we've looked at what's in vogue today, and the blue and the orange certainly seems to be very popular. But true to our Apple heritage, we've also developed a titanium, a silver color, which is designed more for the metrosexuals of us, you know, the men and women that have similar tastes. And the standard that you'll find in all of the Brent Haven cases is protection. It's durability. This bag's going to last forever. You're not going to have to replace your Brent Haven. You may want to add to your collection, and that's fine with us, but this bag is going to be with you a really long time. This is our Fusion MB. This is our Metro. The Metro is retailing for $69. The Fusion MB is $99. Our Pro Series, which is dedicated more for the professionals, it's more feature-laden, greater storage capability, different handles and shoulder straps, starts at $129 and goes up to $300. Our bags are a little bit more expensive than the others on the market, but the question I have to ask you is, how much did you pay for your computer? How much effort did you put working on all the data that is in your computer? Isn't it worth spending a little bit extra to have a bag that provides that extra protection? This is like your insurance policy, and it's also your friend. Some people collect bags the way others collect shoes.
Sam collects bags.
Sam, I happen to know
he's
personally.
A junkie.
He is the Imeldo Marcos of bag
he
owners.
Is.
Yes, if you remember Imeldo's closet of shoes.
Yeah. Hey, Harvey. Where can we get one? Give us a website address to find out more information about Brent Haven.
www.brenthaven.com, as in duh. I mean, what else would it be? But the fact of the matter is it's available online at the Apple stores. It's available at every Apple store, every Apple authorized reseller. And if you still would like to talk with us, just contact us at Brent Haven. We'll be more than happy to help you out.
And your booth number?
We're booth number 2111.
That's easy to remember.
That's easy to remember. Yeah. I just want to say that we've been friends for a long time. I really support what you're doing, Scott. This is a great show.
And I'll show you my Brent Haven later. I've been using this one for, 4 years? I don't know.
And it's because
it looks new because of
Scott that we've really been able to build our brand in the Apple community. So we really appreciate this
opportunity.
Thank you, Harvey.
Appreciate it. Check out his stuff, 2111. Harvey Stone. Right now, I want to bring up our friends from Adobe. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Your product manager, you guys had a brand new preview type beta thingy announced, I believe, Monday.
That's correct. This is the Adobe Lightroom beta.
Lightroom
beta. We announced it on Monday, and it's part of the Project Lightroom. And the idea is we wanted to release the application and make you pay for it when it was done. And in the meantime, we'd like you to be able to try the application and give us feedback on your workflow. And that's why it's a beta.
So tell us about Lightroom. What is the who's the target user for Lightroom? Is this something that would replace, let's say, iPhoto, or is it targeted towards a different user? What's the whole deal behind Lightroom itself?
So we designed Lightroom as a image workflow application, and we designed it from the ground up to be a very elegant, efficient way to manage, process, and showcase your images. And so we're making this application for the pro photographer, and we want to kind of solve some of their workflow challenges of having to use 10 different applications to get their images to their clients.
So basically with Lightroom, you can organize shots by maybe a frequency that they were shot and duration if you're using a high-speed camera to shoot multiple bursts.
Okay.
Give us some of the feature stuff with it, because I think people maybe are familiar with aperture.
Okay.
And you guys do something with Lightroom that's somewhat similar, but I think different, maybe a little differently integrated with the Adobe CS Suite. Tell us what, give us a feature deal between, okay, we have aperture, I have Lightroom.
Okay, well, let me focus on the Lightroom features for those that don't know. So, again, I mentioned being able to import, manage, process, and showcase. And so, really, we've created a modular architecture that steps you through those parts of the workflow. And so, in the manage part or in the library module, you're able to import. And you can import your images from a variety of locations. So if you have a group of images on your hard drive and you want to go ahead and import them, but still leave them in their same location, you can do that. So we let you either leave the files where they are, or we can bring them into the application. Once you've imported the images, you can do a range of things that you can do in terms of giving star ratings, making a quick collection of images that's your selects. You can do a compare. You can do a one-to-one zoom. You know, a lot of things that allow photographers to make decisions of which images are going to make it to the showcase phase of the workflow.
Sure, sure. Now, is this, when I bring my images into Lightroom, does it copy the image over, or does it basically say, does it tell Lightroom, okay, the images are located here, and I'm going to put the metadata that's created from all the work that I do in Lightroom and organization and cataloging, does it put it into some type of database, or is it making multiple copies of my image?
Okay, so that's a great question. We actually wanted to give you the choice because not every photographer works the same way. So in trying to be as open as possible, you can either leave the files in place or you can copy them to a central library. The library is just a collection of folders. Now, in terms of all the information you add to the images in terms of metadata and doing all your non-destructive editing, that's stored in a centralized database.
Nice, nice. How does it handle raw files? Because Aperture handled a certain amount of very popular raw file formats. But Adobe supports pretty much everything, including I couldn't use Aperture because I shoot a Sigma. And I know that Adobe Bridge and Adobe Photoshop will deal with my DFX images great. Is it pretty much anything that works in Photoshop and the Bridge? Does it work fine with Lightroom?
That's a great question. So we spent 3 years working on the Adobe Camera Raw system and, you know, taking every single camera that we could get our hands on and doing some testing with their raw file formats. And so we've built up a list of over 100 different camera formats, and we've included all that expertise and all that learning in Lightroom.
So that's great. So if I'm a Sigma user and I'm shooting an SD9, SD10, or whatever else they come out with, even the Polaroid camera that shoots raw, I can use this in Lightroom because I was sort of alienated before with
That's correct. Anything. And we understand what our customers need. We've been in the non-destructive raw editing space for some time. So we have a great opportunity to leverage all that experience.
So I'm assuming, is there demos on a CD at the booth? Do you download this? Where do we get a hold of Lightroom to play with it? And you guys have any idea when it might actually be when we need to pay for it and how much?
Okay. So to get a copy of the Adobe Lightroom beta, you're going to go to labs.adobe.com. That's lab as in science lab, labs.adobe.com. And if you give us your email address, we'll go ahead and give you a free copy of the application. That's the only way to get the application right now. We don't have CDs at the booth. In terms of our timing, again, this beta cycle is about getting feedback from the community and learning how they use their work, how they use applications in their workflow. And we're going to base the timing of the release on the community and what they say. If they'd like this to be released and we have an overwhelming response to release this immediately, that might affect our timing. So
this demo here, basically, it's going to keep working until you guys figure out some which way it's going to not work and you need to actually step up and buy version 1.0.
The beauty is this version will expire in 6 months, but by then we're going to have produced another beta version that you can download for free as well. And we'll go ahead and keep cycling these expirational versions until you tell us it's ready, and then we'll charge you for it.
Very cool stuff. So this is Tom from Adobe. We've been talking about Lightroom, and we're going to have Tom back on a regular broadcast show so we can go more in depth and really get really geeky on this stuff here. But we want to give you a brief overview of what's going on. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tom from Adobe, Lightroom, check it out, www.adobe.com. Right now we're going to bring up Mark Horn. Mark is the king of desktop marketing here with Quark, and I believe you guys are talking about, we have Quark 7 preview.
Yeah, that's right. We have the Quark 7 preview beta, public beta, is available for download from Quark.com today, as announced by Steve Jobs back at the keynote.
Yeah, so tell us here. We've had Quark version 6.something here for quite a while since you guys migrated to Mac OS 10.
Right.
But Quark 7's all new stuff, a lot of new features. Tell us about the difference between, let's say, Quark 6.something and this new version 7.
All right. There's a lot of differences. One thing that we should talk about since we're at Macworld is, as people will have heard, the public beta that's downloadable today is PowerPC. But within a few weeks or so, we're going to have the universal binary. because we're shooting and will be the first desktop publishing application that's in universal binary. That's a major difference, obviously, in terms of performance. But even if, for those who are staying on the PowerPC platform, we have a lot of new stuff, transparency, OpenType, and we have a lot of collaboration features. We have a thing called composition zones, which lets people divide a layout to work on it simultaneously, so two people can be working on the same page at the same time. And we also have another feature to do, we call Quark Job Jackets, which allows people to take specifications like color management and print settings from their printer and integrate them into their design workflow without having to deal with those things manually.
Very cool there. Okay, so we have this new version now. Are you, I'm of course demoing 7 and all the stuff that's going on here. Is 7 going to be available as a demo, as a beta now, or is it going to be just when it's available as a 7, it's going
to
ship?
Right now, you can go to quark.com and get the public beta, download it for yourself. The full functionality, except there's one missing feature that that won't be in until final release, although actually we may get out before then, which is Photoshop import. We have that. We've enhanced that in 7 to support transparency, so that didn't quite make the cut for the public
great.
Beta.
That's cool.
But everything else is in there. It's basically including even the help file. So everything you need to know to use the application is in there too. So everyone should get that now and give us the feedback that we need about, you know, on my particular printer, this thing happens, that kind of stuff, so we can fine tune it for a second quarter release this year.
Okay, so basically the beta is going to last for like 60 days or something.
Yeah, it runs out on March 31st.
Okay, so by then you guys will have something cooking with
by
that,
then we should have quite a few things to work on, yeah.
What other kind of stuff should we look for with the transition? Is it going to be a big, is there a big learning curve going from 6.0 to version 7, or am I going to be able to pick this up and just run with it?
Exactly, you're going to be able to pick with it and run with it. But we've done a lot of things with the interface that you people will pick up probably in the first day or two without even meaning to. The first thing you'll see is everything's going to look a lot better on screen. We've totally rebuilt the graphics engine, so you'll see font smoothing and color management and so on immediately out of the box. So even if you open up the file you were working on yesterday, it's going to look a lot better today. But also we've done some things with the interface. They seem to be kind of the same, but we have this measurement palette, which we've always had. We've enhanced that with tabs now. And what we found is you can get most of the key functionality from almost all of your dialog boxes on a single palette. And you know, it's equivalent to like 11 palettes in competing applications, all down in one. But it's pretty much the same design you've always seen. And transparency, there's no transparency palette as such. Everywhere where you can apply color, you can apply transparency. Just like in the past, you've applied your tint or your shade color, you apply opacity there. So that means fewer workarounds too. So you can put a transparent background, but with fully opaque text in a single box, which is unique. You can't do that in any illustration tools or layout tools that I've seen.
No, it looks like you guys have really took feedback from the other versions of Quark and then to put all the stuff into the new version. It's just,
yeah, we've taken a lot of feedback. A
huge feature set with this. I mean, it's a full dot new version.
Yeah,
all new.
I think it's the biggest upgrade I've seen as a Quark user or as a Quark employee. That's why we're doing a lot in terms of education on our site. We're going to have a rolling RSS feed of podcasts, tutorials, webinars. We hope to do some more work with you guys and get a lot more information out there. I think the thing is this. We've always had a very strong user base who've gone out and spoken about our product and told other people. That's the biggest way of spreading the success of our product. And right now that's through letting people know how great it is. We've been doing some hands-on classes here. They've been sold out. And people are running out pretty energized, going and downloading. And it's great to see that.
I think you guys are holding a pretty large market share still in the desktop market, correct?
Yeah, we're still quite comfortably ahead of the number two, but we'd like to hold that and even expand it.
Sure.
And I'd also like to move a little bit into some of the markets that right now think maybe Quark Express and InDesign are not for me. It's a bit difficult. I think that by keeping our interface streamlined, by allowing printers to take control of designers' color management, for example, those are things that create a kind of entry barrier to these kind of applications. And we're hoping to allow that kind of collaboration between printers and designers to let even casual designers and so on use professional tools.
Right, because, you know, like you said, the printer anymore is just not a printer.
Right, exactly.
It's a communications company, and they need to actually deal with design in-house and color management and everything
else.
Yeah,
I say printer as shorthand, but really it's so much more than that. Color, collaboration, all kinds of things to do with digital output, analog output. There's a lot of stuff that you're... you know, output service provider can provide to you these days. But the problem is this, for a smaller service provider, it's very difficult to keep that one-on-one communication with all of their customers. If they can do it through a digital format, that really makes it so that they can then offer top quality service to all of their customers, not just the ones with the biggest jobs. So it kind of grows up the whole industry around the service providers too.
Sure, that's a big deal. Now, Mark, where can we find out more information? The booth, well, we don't know the booth number, but it's probably by the escalator.
It's all
you can find
the...
it. It's green.
It's
There's
green.
A lot of black
it's
and
green.
Green.
Big green
but,
cube.
The address, web address, where they can find the if they can download the, yeah.
Quark.
The and all the
Quark.com is a good place to start. Quark.com/7, that's SEVEN, is a good place to get your learning materials. And there are forums and so on in there too for discussing things, and we hope that you'll give us your feedback.
Yeah, and I appreciate coming today. We're going to have Mark back later talking about, so we can actually, you know, we like to, in a regular Saturday show, we like to get a little deeper and get really whacked out geeky. We're trying to keep it soft and happy here, but expect to hear a lot more from Quark, and I appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks, let's go.
Thanks. Check them out. They're over there by the escalator. Nice big black and green booth. Right now we're going to bring up iBrian, the digital guy. And then later on we have Colin Smith from Photoshop Cafe and the king of DVDs, Adrian Ramsire. So we're going to talk to these guys. We'll talk to Brian here real quick and then Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much. Good to see you again.
Yeah, hey, so tell everybody, who's iBrian? Who's Brian Linden?
iBrian, the digital guy. iBrian, the digital guy is a podcast that I started to help people have a better digital imaging experience. I earn my living as a professional photographer, and I've had the good fortune of working with some very big companies, and I've been shooting digitally since 1993 and working with computers since 1981. So I've had a little bit of time to figure out some of the pitfalls that people are falling into. And what I'm doing on my podcast is sharing things with people like how to print properly via Photoshop CS or CS2, taking advantage of some of the new features with the Epson's new Ultra Chrome printers and doing their advanced black and white modes. I've got stuff on calibration. I do book reviews on digital imaging books that are important that people should know about that will really help them. So I spend hours and hours of time going through information and using my experience and contacts in the digital imaging industry to weed out sort of the good from the bad and just give people what they want. You generally won't hear a bad review or anything negative in my podcast because I just want people to go to the products that work. So I'm happy to share that with people.
So real quick here, give us your thoughts on, there's some new stuff here. You saw Lightroom.
Lightroom. Lightroom. Actually, I'm very excited about Lightroom. I wasn't as excited about Aperture and still am not. Lightroom is, it looks like it's going to be a fantastic product. It's, from what I've seen, I've been running it. I just downloaded it here at the show. And I'm running it on an 867 megahertz PowerBook just fine. I'm able to use the loop, zoom in real quickly. One of the things that I especially like about Lightroom is that it's not taking control of my photos. I'm in control of where I want to keep my photos, and I've developed a workflow that I share with people and do workflow consulting as well. And using Lightroom, it enables me to still stay within my workflow and take advantage of some of the benefits that it has. So definitely very excited
about
it.
Cool stuff there. Anything else Brian's seen here at the show that just like wowed you?
Well, actually, here at the show, I'm speaking for Nick Multimedia.
Yeah.
They're plug-in packages for Photoshop. I've been using them since the late 90s, and I use them on almost all of my images. So I'm over at Nick Multimedia talking about
they
Color
got anything
Effects
new?
Pro. What's
any,
that?
Any new plugins?
There aren't any new plugins for the show, but version 2 just came out last year. And there were some very interesting things that happened with version 2. You got bigger preview windows. You have an advanced dialog box in most of the plugins where, let's say, something was blowing out a highlight. You have control of protecting your highlights and shadows. And Sharpener Pro, of course, is, you know, it's amazing as far as sharpening images. You can do things with Sharpener Pro that you wouldn't be able to do with an unsharp mask. You can, for instance, if you were sharpening somebody's face and they had a lot of pores and you wanted to de-emphasize that, you can easily, without having to create complex masks, click on an eyedropper tool, a skin tone, turn off the sharpening just for skin tones, and still have sharpening throughout the remainder of the image, which is really cool. Browsing the show, there's been so many interesting things. Nikon's got the D200 out. I'm really excited about getting my hands on that. Some of the new software products I've seen for working with discs. Otherworld Computing, they just released a new mini stack that has more ports on the hard drive where you can access from the side as well as the back. Cool. Are you familiar with that product?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's a great product. I just did a review on that on iBrian.
Cool.
But so it's just a great show. I like that I'm seeing more emphasis on photography this year. Than in years past. Of course, that's because of Aperture and Lightbox and other things like that. But it's just great being out here. I'm having fun doing the presentations, getting a lot of great feedback from people, and So far, everybody I've run across has big smiles on their face, so I guess the show's doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's cool. So how do we get more information on your what you're up to in your podcast?
Well, you can check out my podcast by going to the iTunes Music Store and just looking up iBryan, it's I-B-R-Y-A-N, and subscribing to the Digital Guy podcast, or you can go to iBryan.com, or just about any podcast aggregator out there. I'm listed with all of them.
Cool. So thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate it.
Brian
Thank you
Linden.
For having me.
Thanks, brother. Right now, let's bring up Jim Hyde. Jim's got a brand new book out. Actually, he's been working on this before it was announced, but he's got a new deal on iLife 06.
Yes,
how you doing, Jim?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to see you there.
Good. So you guys have this first look pamphlet that you could pick up at, what, the Peach Pit Press booth?
Exactly. Yeah? If you go to the Peach Pit Press booth, it is a 16-page look at iLife 06. It's a sneak preview of the next edition of my book, the Macintosh iLife 06, which I'm frantically finishing up right now. And it walks you through each of the new enhancements in iLife 06.
So Jim, tell us, you've written a bunch of books. This is a brand new one. You've done some other books also.
Yeah, well, I've been the...
I've been the iLife guy since
before Apple actually put the four programs, now six programs, together under one umbrella. The first edition of the book came out in 2002, and I've revised it every year since then with each new release of iLife. And now my job is that much bigger because I've got iWeb to cover, a new iLife application.
Yeah, so you've been playing this for a while. You were under the big NDA and got to see this stuff before anybody else. What do you think of the new iLife 06?
I think it's a great release. It's a really interesting release in that, A, all of the apps have very nice enhancements in one way or another, as we see every year. But probably the big overarching trend, the big message to iLife 06 is this greater degree of internet savvy. The way that, for one thing, there's an internet publishing program now, iWeb, that makes it very easy to create websites. You don't have to touch a line of HTML. You don't have to even know what HTML stands for.
Right, you can just plug in some text and pick a picture and a template and go put it up on my .Mac.
Exactly. You've got templates. You can choose the templates. You can customize the templates to a huge extent. But it's obviously not a Dreamweaver type of program. You can't get in there and tinker with the code. So iWeb is one big thing, but then the other big thing are all of the enhancements to .Mac that relate to iLife 06.
Right.
The way you can do photo casting from iPhoto, publish your iPhoto albums that other people can then subscribe to in iPhoto 6 or in any standard newsreader, Mac or Windows. You've got podcast creation in GarageBand 3, a whole huge new engine for producing podcasts with far less effort than it used to take, and enhanced podcasts at that, ones that have chapter markers, ones that have synchronized artwork, things like that. And then there is blogging, of course, in iWeb. You can create video podcasts in iMovie HD. So a good half of the six iLife 06 applications have this very strong internet angle now.
So do you see this main focus within this new version of iLife 06 towards a, just a typical consumer family type deal, or do you actually see where you could use this, integrate this into a business situation?
You could certainly use it and integrate it as a business, in a business scenario. I mean, it's obviously intended as the personal digital media studio.
Right.
But I know that there are filmmakers and video producers who use iDVD to, put together quick DVDs. Somebody cut a feature-length film in iMovie a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd want to do that, but it just goes to show that you can. And, of course, that now supports high definition, or has as of last year even. And iWeb is also, it would be an ideal program for, somebody who with a small business, maybe wanted to create a blog to promote their business, to provide daily tips for their customers.
Sure.
iWeb would be ideal for that as well.
So $79 for the software. You can go to the Apple Store and buy it. Your book, when are we going to have our new happy book?
Did my publisher put you up to that question?
No. I just want, you can go buy the software, but now I need Jim's book so I can figure it out.
Well, exactly. The book will be out in a couple of months. I'm still working on it. We are doing an entire new DVD. It comes with an instructional DVD, two hours long.
If everybody don't know, this book is in full color.
Full color.
Beautiful graphics.
Very lavishly illustrated.
The best one I've seen in a long time.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you.
It's really good.
Well, you can at least get the first look here at the show, or if you're not in San Francisco, you can go to my website, maciLife.com, download a PDF of it. I also have launched a podcast produced in GarageBand that you can also get at macilife.com. And if you keep an eye on the website, subscribe to the RSS feed, I'll be posting updates.
And you've been doing conference stuff too, so you guys got something planned here to talk about iLife? You gonna got a gig coming up?
No, I'm speaking just at various booths and talking about the iLife 06 unveiling and about the new edition of the book. And then I'm going home to start typing again.
There you go. Hey, Jim, thanks for being with us today.
Always a pleasure, Scott. Thank you so much.
Jim Hyde, the king of iLife. You can check it out at Peach Pit's booth or peachpit.com. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, right now we have Robert Ozanka from Epson America. Epson makes printers. They make a ton of stuff. But right now we want to talk about, you got some new photo printer stuff here at Macworld. And you guys, mainly I want to talk about the Print Academy.
Right. Actually, we have a full line of photo printers here on display at Macworld, and people are familiar with our Epson home printers, but we also make high-end professional graphics printers that I market at Epson, the Stylus Pro printer line. So also in terms of what you can see here, and also with Print Academy, which kicks off in Dallas this weekend, January 14th, it begins a 12-city tour from now till June, and you'll be able to have both an advanced amateur track and also a pro track. So the pro track is for working professionals that want to see how to improve their use of Epson printers in a professional photographic or graphic art workflow.
Now the Print Academy, you have this broken down into, you have consumer, you sort of have, well, maybe high-end consumer, and then you have professional and really high-end.
Right.
Now, this is a 12-week run. Is this, do you do this more than once a year, or is it just 12 weeks for the year and that's all it runs through?
It's spread out over the next several months till June.
So it runs through June, so every 6 months or year and a half or whatever. However the calendar deal falls, you guys do a new Print Academy.
Exactly. So the first...
Who's kind of the instructors that are going to be there?
We have people like Jeff Shewe, Greg Gorman, Mac Holbert. We have a whole host of people that will be there at Print Academy. So the Pro Track will have more of the live presenters and some more of the in-depth technical tips and techniques. And the Advanced Amateur Track will be also a good place to start for people just getting into digital imaging. But the Pro Track will have a lot of advanced features, such as how to use a RIP. We're going to talk about the Color Burst RIP and the Epson Stylus Pro printer line. And the Epson track for the advanced amateurs, we'll talk a little bit more about the R1800 and R2400s. And both those printers, by the way, use Epson pigment ink, which gives you great image quality, but also great longevity. So people will be able to see how prints are made that will last, whether it's for photography or for proofing or for design work. So it'll be a great educational environment. And again, this is Epson bringing you the latest technology, as well as the experts in the business, talking about color management and printing workflow.
So let's talk about the Pro line. It starts off with what, the 2400? And then it goes like the 7800 and the 9800, or there's one in between I think I'm missing.
Well, actually, for the advanced amateurs and some of the pros, the most popular printers we have are the R1800 and the R2400. The R2400 uses the same ultrachrome K3 ink that's used in our Stylus Pro line that I market at Epson.
So this is an 8 ink system, it's an 8 tank?
It's an 8 color ink system,
okay. Exactly.
And it has, the K3 refers to a 3 level black system. So you have either your photo or matte black, and then you have light black and a new light black. And so those are the 3 levels of blacks that are used. Basically this ink set gives you incredible color, but also amazing black and white quality. So from one printer and one ink set, you can do great neutral or tone black and white prints, and also still have great phenomenal color photography.
Yeah, that's very cool. Now, where can I find out more information on the Print Academy, on the Epson, higher-end Pope printers, and even your consumer line?
Sure.
Or just a regular consumer that wants to just print some pictures out of their little digital camera?
Sure. Well, the new website for registration for Print Academy is EpsonPrintAcademy.com. So just go to www.EpsonPrintAcademy.com, and they can see the dates for the seminar, register online, and there'll also be registration at the day of the seminar as well. So if they don't have time to register ahead online, they can just show up to the event. And also for the regular, I would say the whole Epson line, you can always go to Epson.com and click on whatever printer line you're interested in, whether it's a business printer, a photo printer, or a high-end professional graphics printer. And then if you just want to go directly to the professional site, it's www.prographics.epson.com.
Wow, very cool stuff. Thanks for joining today, Robert. Definitely the Print Academy is cool. I got a buddy of mine that's been helping you guys, Vincent Versace, for years with this stuff, and endorses the Epson deal, and we love Epson. It's great stuff.
We're looking forward to it. Dallas registration is picking up really well, and thanks again for the time today at the show.
No problem. We're going to have Epson back on talking about some of the other stuff, the R2400 and then your 9600, or actually it's 9800 now, I think.
Right.
And your ProLine stuff, wide format. So thanks, Robert.
Okay, thanks again.
Great. Check them out. Right now we have Colin Smith. So how you doing, mate?
Good. How are you?
Good. You're Colin Smith. You run a website called Photoshop Cafe. Photoshop Cafe. This is the biggest Photoshop website in the world, correct?
PhotoshopCafe.com.
Yeah. It's the biggest website for Photoshop users on the planet.
Well, except for Adobe, of course.
Well, yeah, but secondary, I mean, you guys have a huge deal. You have... Explain everything about PhotoshopCafe.com.
Okay, well, we have everything from free tips and tutorials. We just started a contest. We have an annual contest that's runs out on the 15th of this month. We've got about $8,000 worth of prizes on that. We've got user forums, reviews, tips, tricks, galleries, you name it. It's there. Anything to do with Photoshop, downloads, actions.
That's cool stuff there. So you got to do that. And now you also, you've write a lot of books. Tell us about the books and the training stuff you do, because you're like nonstop.
Yeah, I probably work too hard, Scott.
You do.
I've got 14 books right now, working on number 15. The latest one is Complete CS2 for Digital Photographers. CS2 for Digital Photographers.
Right.
Yeah, that one just came out. That one's with Thompson, used to be Charles River, now they're Thompson. How to do everything with Photoshop CS2 from McGraw-Hill. That one's just come out recently, too. So both those books are doing good, but we also got the DVDs. We just done a new one with the Wacom tablet. It's Photoshop Secrets for Photoshop and the Wacom tablets, and we did that with Wes from Wacom Technology, and that's really been
that was a big one.
Well.
I know that you released that Photoshop World in Boston, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, and that went over with a real splash. Yeah,
that's a great video, because it's different when you learn how to integrate a piece of hardware and use it in Photoshop correctly. So something you normally don't see.
Yeah, the problem, most people, they get a Wacom tablet and then they still work like a mouse user, and they don't take advantage of all the new features.
Yeah, I mean, every time I try to do the Wacom deal, it's just, I think it takes a few days.
Yeah, once you get comfortable.
I'm in mouse mode, and it doesn't work right.
Yeah, once you get comfortable with the tablet, get used to using a pen, which is actually more natural. If you took a complete novice user and you gave them a tablet, it would make a lot more sense than a mouse. But, it takes years of, fooling around to get used to working with a soap on the rope. And then
to go
back to using a pen is more natural, but it takes a little bit of getting used to, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you also do a lot of shows. Where's the next place we can go see Photoshop Cafe? Check out what you're up to and what's going on with you.
That'll be Photoshop World in
Miami Beach.
Miami Beach, yeah.
March 18th through the 21st or something. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Just go to PhotoshopWorld.com, or of course you want to register your site, because you have huge forums too. I mean, it's just it's really a monster community with Photoshop. That's PhotoshopCafe.com.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Colin.
All right, thanks, Scott.
Colin Smith, the world's largest Photoshop website. Right now we have Cameron Taylor. He's from Razer USA. How you doing, Cameron?
Doing well. Thanks, Scott.
So you guys are here at Macworld. You got some pretty cool, interesting, new, innovative little products. Let's talk about this. You got a new keyboard. There's a new mouse. There's a that I saw earlier that's really cool, this mouse pad deal. Tell me what you guys got going here.
Well, this is actually our second Macworld. We launched the Pro Solutions line last year in Boston. We had our mouse and our mouse mat. And the really unique feature of our mouse is the high sensitivity and high resolution of the product.
Right.
In a world of graphic design, IDs, it's not available.
Right.
When you're using large format monitors, you have a low DPI mouse, it's a heck of a lot of work and a heck of a lot of strain on your wrist.
Even with a regular Apple, like a Bluetooth mouse on a cinema display, it's like pick, drag.
Right.
And even when you turn the settings up to as fast as they'll go, it's still not...
Right.
So that's basically because of the DPI resolution of the mouse. Most mice are what, 300?
400 to 800.
400 to 800. And what, now, what right. is what is the Razer? What's your Pro mouse?
Double that, 1600
really, DPI. Really, 1600 DPI.
To give you an idea, if you're using a 21-inch large format screen,
right,
to get from one corner to the next, it's about the size of a silver dollar.
Right.
That's the amount of wrist movement required to navigate that real estate. So.
And especially if you're using dual monitors.
Yes.
I use a 17-inch PowerBook and a 23-inch cinema display, and it's just like pick, drag.
No more pick, drag.
Right. I mean, that's why my wrist hurts all the time.
Absolutely. So along with the mouse, we have the mouse mat. This is a stamped aluminum mouse mat with a unique proprietary surface that really allows the sensor we use to read at its most optimum. And in the case of the sensor in the 1600, it actually clocks a little higher than 1600 DPI.
Right.
So it allows you to really customize how you interact with your Mac. Along with that, we've just launched the Pro Touch. Now, this is the first intuitive keyboard of its kind. 10 hotkeys that allow you to program them in an instant for any application.
Right.
Along with that, it has onboard memory, and you're able to store the unique settings for up to 5 different profiles.
Wow.
On the keyboard.
On the keyboard.
On the keyboard.
Now, if I take the keyboard and I have all the settings stored in the keyboard, can I unplug it and go from Mac to Mac, or from my G5 to my laptop, and it'll know everything and the drivers and all the software and stuff's in the keyboard?
Absolutely.
So I don't have to have all this stuff in different machines.
That is
cool.
That's about being simple.
I also see there's an iPod dock built right in.
iPod dock built right in. You can charge.
Yeah.
You can interact with your iTunes.
Yeah.
Manipulate the iPod with the multi-key settings.
Wow, that's cool.
Multimedia keys,
That is handy because, you know, like you said, first off, how much is a Pro Touch keyboard?
Pro Touch keyboard, which will be available sometime after April 1st. We ship April 1st.
Right.
It'll be available for $99 U.S. retail.
Well, you go buy a dock, it's $30.
There you
so
go.
So you figure that off. The keyboard's really only costing you $60
with
a change.
World-class
but with
drivers.
All the programmable stuff you have on it, because this thing, you know, they can't see it right now because we're not doing our TV gig, but it's definitely interesting. Very slick looking, too.
You know, what we did is we took feedback from end users and said, what do you want? We can put bells and whistles on anything, but it's not about bells and whistles to be making more productive, make you a better designer.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And then I also see you guys have some interesting headphones. One's almost like a speaker and one's an in-ear deal.
Right. We have actually two types. This is the ProTone 100M. This is the 250. The 250 is a clip-on style. It has a broad audio range, broad frequency range, great bass response. Clip-on, not intrusive. Anybody that does a lot of flying, this is wonderful.
Right, right.
For any of the sports-minded people, we have the earbuds. These slide right in the ear. There's great bass driving. Once again, more response.
Very nice looking.
Quite comfortable.
Yeah, they look nice.
Yeah.
So what's your booth number here at Macworld? And then also, how can we find more information online about all the stuff you guys are up to?
Our booth space is 2629.
Okay.
The 2600 block of
yep.
Macworld.
That's cool.
Come by and see us.
Yeah, and then what about web address? Where can we find this stuff? Where can I buy it at?
www.razerpro.com. RAZERPRO.com.
Cool. Thanks, Cameron.
Cheers. Thanks.
Hey, that's the guys from Razer, Cameron Taylor. Check them out at www.razerpro.com. Cool stuff. Right now, real quick, we have our buddy Adrian Ramsayer. Adrian's been my buddy for years now. He was the originator of the Apple Pro Training Series manuals for DVD Studio Pro, I think, just yeah. DVD Studio Pro. How's it going?
It's going very well, thanks.
How are you liking Macworld?
Well, it seems to be very interesting this year. Some new products from Apple, the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Long awaited, and I already ordered one for myself.
Did you? Now, what about your concern with the pro applications? I guess this will be what, NAB time?
Yeah, NAB
should
be.
Stuff.
We should see the new application natively on the new MacBooks and the new Intel platform.
Right. That's cool stuff. Now, what's Adrian up to these days? What have you been doing? You have a company that deals with DVD stuff. You've made templates and stuff in the past. Tell us what Adrian's up to these days.
We also do a lot of consulting for larger companies where we do some DVD authoring. I recently did the Rockstar InXS DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, but that was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And also, I mean, maybe something new for the people that are listening to the show. I mean,
yeah.
There's some new DVD standards coming up. It's Blu-ray
yeah, yeah.
versus
Blu-ray. What's your thoughts on Blu-ray versus HD DVD?
Well, my thoughts are, I mean, really, what
I think the Blu-ray is a better deal because of the data and the bit rate. But maybe, what's your thoughts on it? Because you're the king of DVD stuff.
Well, I hope that the technology will be released pretty soon, that we finally can take advantage of it, and there's not too many limitations from the people in Hollywood and so forth to get the product out.
Yeah, I think there's going to be lots of limitations in this whole high definition DVD deal. I don't think they even want it.
Yeah,
but you know, you never know.
I think it's going to be great because, I mean, now we have HDV, we have new cameras from Canon also coming up with better codecs.
Yep.
And it's going to be great for the whole production workflow. That's what we teach also at our Apple Pro Training Center.
Right.
the showcase the workflow from editing to motion graphics to final DVD.
Well, I mean, think about it now. You can get a Canon X2H1, come out HD SDI into a Kona 3 card, into a G5 quad, uncompressed, 4.42. I mean, it's just, well, actually 4.22. But yeah, good stuff with all this new product. Tell us about the pro training, your center, where you guys do the training, and how do the people get a hold of Adrian and what you guys are doing if they want to actually learn more about DVD creation and menuing and all the stuff you guys are doing.
Yeah. I mean, our Apple Pro training, we teach all the applications. We have about 4 different classes of Final Cut Pro.
So you're doing everything?
We're doing everything.
Okay, so you're not just concentrating on DVD creation?
No, not only that. We do also Shake. We do Logic. We do Soundtrack Pro. We actually also going to start teaching Aperture pretty soon, and of course Motion.
So you guys are in Irvine, so your training center is in Irvine?
Our training center is in Irvine, yeah, and we get a lot of people certified on all these applications.
Yeah, no, that's great. And the website address, I want to find out more. Where do I go?
It's all4dvd.com. That's A-L-L number 4dvd.com.
Cool. Hey, Adrian, thanks for joining us today. That was Adrian Ramsayer. Like I said, he's the king of DVD stuff. Check it out, all4dvd.com. You've been listening to Inside Mac here live at Macworld Expo. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Scott.